Tim has got some worksheets for you there to hand out. Make sure you get one per couple anyway. I think there should be enough for everybody. Psalm 119. I'm going to be sharing a series on Psalm 119 in the Sunday School Hour, and I'm just taking a couple gems out of the 119th Psalm to share with you. And I thought, since it was Easter Sunday, and the Lord was made alive on Easter Sunday, death couldn't conquer him, and we need to be made alive sometimes. The older I get, the more dead I feel. But one of the words that goes with revival is that word quickening. So that's the word we're going to look at tonight, is the word quickening. If you have your Bibles and you are in Psalm 119, I'll turn your attention to verse number 149 first. And then we'll go read a couple more verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer and we'll get started. I appreciate that last song, A Sweet Hour of Prayer. It's been a favorite of mine for years. And we had a Bible conference several years ago, and had about 10 people in attendance, and no piano player. And one of the young sailors who had been in the Navy got up and he sang Sweet Hour of Prayer in a cappella all by himself, and it stole the show. I mean, that's all we talked about for the next 3 days, was the great job he had done. Of course, it's a powerful song, regardless of who's singing it or who's playing it. Great, great truth there, Sweet Hour of Prayer. It's just a good song. So I appreciate that special number and the other specials that went along with it as well. Now, you probably don't know this, but in looking up some research for this is a message. What I'm doing in my old age, in my retirement, is I got a file with about, 300-400 sermons. And I sit down before them when pastor says, I want you to share on Sunday night. I sit down and I say, well, I can't do this one. That one's no good. And can't do this one. That one's, oh, there's one. This one will work. And that's what I do. And so I'm trying to downsize even my sermon collection, okay? And I'd like to get the cream of the crop and put that together. And this is one of those messages that I have shared in the past, but I just love Psalm 119. And I just love the fact that it's so personal and so powerful when we apply its precepts to our life. And quickening is something that I pray for every day, as much as I pray for revival and strength and everything else. But, to me, if I'm not quickened and made alive each day, I'll just pull the covers up and I'll lose the battle of the bedsheets, and I'll just crawl in a hole and never do anything. But with the quickening power of God, I can be made alive each day, and I can serve, and I can have my heart revived, and I can be focused on what's important and not focused on the things that are not important. And so it's a valuable lesson for me. So even if you don't appreciate it, I want you to know that I do. Now remember the rules. If you're under 20, I want to see your sheets afterwards. A couple of girls snuck out last time without showing me their sheets. Don't let that happen again, okay? If you're under 20, you write good answers. And if you don't write good answers, then I'm going to talk to your mom and dad and say no more Dairy Queen, okay? Now, if you're over 20, I can't read your writing anyway, so you can keep your papers if you're over 20. All right? I want you to look at verse 149. The psalmist says, hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. Now, I mentioned a little bit the other day when I was talking about affliction. If you remember the last time I preached, I talked about affliction, and I don't remember that whether that was a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, but tonight it's the word quickening. Look, if you will, at verse 154. Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. And drop down and look at verse 156. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. And then finally look at verse 159. Consider how I love thy law, consider how I love thy precepts, quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Bring me back to a normal, powerful, real relationship with you. That's what quickening is all about. And you know, to be revived and to be quickened and to have a clean slate and serve the Lord is so important. Some of our friends from the Reformed Church background, if you listen to their prayers, they're often praying about, forgive me of my sins, forgive me of my lack of attention. And there's a lot of forgiveness in the Reformed Church prayer life. And what they're doing is they're trying to get a clean slate so that they can have a fresh start with God each day. And I see quickening as not something that happens when you're saved and then you don't have to worry about it again. I need quickening almost every single day. Because like you, or maybe not all of you, but I get burned out at the end of the day. I'm bushed and I'm tired. I go home. I'll go home tonight at 7:30 and I'll be sleeping by 7:25. I mean, that's just the way it is when you get older. So cheer up. You're all going to get there one day, if the Lord tarries. But I need a surge of Holy Spirit power on a regular basis. And if I don't have that surge, then I feel sorry for myself. I get depressed and I get crabby and holy and everything else. So that's not good. I want to talk to you tonight about quickening. So let's get started. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the reality of it. Thank you, Lord, that it's new. It's not an old book with an old message just for old people. It's a new book every day as it's energized by your Holy Spirit. It's full of grace and truth, and your word says that your mercy is new every day. And Lord, we need to look at it as a new book and not just an old book, because its truths are needed with each new day. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you for the chance tonight to learn about this quickening principle that's throughout Psalm 119 and throughout the rest of Scriptures. We know that you empower us with grace and mercy and truth and love and energy, and we trust you for it tonight as we study. Help us by your Holy Spirit's power, and let us be quick to give you the praise and the honor and the glory, for in Christ we pray. Amen. All right. It helps me a little bit if I follow the sheet, so let's follow the sheet here. This is my comfort in Psalm 119, verse 50. So flip back to verse number 50. This is my comfort, which in the New Testament we read that when the Comforter has come, that's the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is a New Testament title for Comforter. And the psalmist writes, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." And then if you look also at verse number 93, again of Psalm 119, the psalmist says, "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me." Now, I don't know how it is with you folks, but two or three times a month, maybe more than two or three times a month, I go to the gas station and I fill up. And I watch the meter, and you know, 212 a gallon, then 228 a gallon, and 285, and I suppose before summer it's going to be $3 a gallon. But without that refilling and without that energy being put in my gas tank, I would run out. And that's why I feel about the quickening power of God. If I don't go to God's word and refuel for each day, then I run out. So putting the word first is very, very important. It was important to the psalmist, and it ought to be important to you and to I. If we want comfort today, if we want Holy Spirit power, the place to go is to God's word, okay? Now, how would you define quicken? Well, I could take the time and ask you for some one-word definitions, but let me give you some that are recorded in your Webster's Dictionary, if you have one of those old-timers. To define quickening, it simply means to make alive. I'm one of those fellows, I get up and I move around the house for about an hour and a half, but that doesn't mean I'm alive yet, okay? That means I haven't had my morning coffee or I haven't had my morning snack, and so I'm just walking around the house like a zombie. I need to be quickened. I need to be made alive. That's one of the definitions of quickening. Now, how many of you have the type of spirit where you get out of bed, as soon as you get up, you're just like the Energizer Bunny, and you're going full steam without any help? Well, there's a couple of you in here that are that way. I've watched you, okay? I am not, so pray for me, okay? I'll pray that you lose some of your energy, and I'll pray that I get it, okay? To be made alive. It also means to cheer. I thought that was interesting. Quickening means to cheer people up. And I think that's a good definition. Number three, it means to reinvigorate. Now, if you're not sure how to spell that, kids, ask your mom and dad, because they do. Reinvigorate. And number four, it means to stimulate. And number five, it means to resuscitate. And I think every preacher on Sunday morning tries to figure out how he can resuscitate his people and get them excited and get them concerned and get them on a soul-winning adventure and get them serving more and giving more and helping more. And boy, resuscitation is a good word. And it also means to sharpen. I don't have a number six there for you, but if you want to add that to there, quickening means to sharpen. Who doesn't want to be alive? Who doesn't want to be cheerful? Who doesn't want to be invigorated? Who doesn't want to be stimulated and resuscitated? Who doesn't want to be a little bit sharper? I hope we all do, because that's certainly important for us. Now, the spiritual purposes, we'll take just a second here and look at there, but I think there are three main purposes why you and I need to be quickened. And we need to pray that way on a daily basis. Number one is because it communicates a principle of grace. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Most of you have this memorized, but I always like to turn there at my age and make sure I get every word right, okay? Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need to be quickened so that principle is communicated to us. Each day we get is a gift of God's grace. I think we sang earlier tonight, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. You know, if you're alive today, you ought to be thankful for God's grace. The Johnson family up in Kenmare, North Dakota, is planning a funeral this week. And Larry, last week, he fell and couldn't get up off the floor, and his wife tried to pick him up. He said, I'll be just fine. Well, he wasn't. They took him in a car to the Minot Hospital, and then they went from Minot to Fargo, and on Good Friday, he slipped into eternity. And every breath, every heartbeat is a gift of God's grace. And that has a stimulating effect on me. That each day is a gift of His grace. Because as you and I read the newspaper, tomorrow morning or whatever, as you get older, you go to the obituary column more often just to see who died and how old they were. Am I the only one that does that? I go there and I say, who died and how old were they? It's amazing to me how many people are younger than me that die. Now, there are a few that are older than me, but it's shocking as I get older that the younger ones are more in number. But there's people alive today in Brookings that will not be alive next week. And we need to be reminded of God's grace and God's goodness. A second spiritual purpose behind being quickened is to give keener perception. To give us a keener perception as we look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Here again, probably some verses that many of you have committed to memory, but let me read them. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, we need to be reminded that we can have a keener perception once we get this quickening principle down pat and we begin to pray for it in our life. And then the third one is to refresh by new supplies of comfort. And for that we look at John 14 verses 16 through 18. John 14 verses 16 through 18. And Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. The reason behind the Holy Spirit's comforting duty in our life is to quicken us, is to revive us, and is to give us energy for the day. I will pray the Father, and he shall give thee another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without quickening. I will come to you, Jesus says. So we have a communication of the principle of grace. That's one of the purposes behind learning how to be quickened and how to pray for quickening. And secondly, to give keener perception so that we might see things clearer through the eyes of Christ. And the older I get, the more I see the importance of unconditional love, the unconditional love that Jesus shared with me. I'm to be passing that on to others. And I guess I'm a little bit like you in some ways. When people do me dirt, I don't really want to show them unconditional love. But I've got to learn that. And it takes a quickening power, and it takes the power of the Holy Spirit for you and I to learn how to love our enemies. That is a challenge. Always has been and always will be for me. Maybe not for you, but I need that. It's to give us a keener perception and to refresh us with new supplies of comfort on a daily basis. And I need that. The basic meaning of quickening really is simply life. It's just life. You know, there's life in that guy. Or that guy's a deadbeat. Well, what do you want to be? I mean, who wants to be a deadbeat? I hope when I leave an arena, when I go to a restaurant or I walk into Walmart or wherever I'm at, I hope people can see a little bit of Christ in me and they're not saying, who was that deadbeat? I hope they see somebody who reflects the love of Christ in some way, shape, or form, either through my gratitude or through my communication or through my kindness or whatever. I would want to see that. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And quickening, if you had to use one word to define quickening, it's life. He gives life. And we celebrated that this morning with a wonderful sermon on the resurrection of Christ. And there was much more in that passage in John than I realized. And Pastor did a good job of packing all that in there. But when Christ rose from the dead on that first Easter morn, he rose with a quickening power that he offers to you and I. I think it's in Colossians 2:13. You can turn there later if you want, but it talks about us being quickened together with him. And so there's a quickening that takes place. Let's look at some references here and see how important it is. Roman numeral 1, 9 references to the psalmist's prayer for quickening. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of Psalm 119 and start with verse 25. Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken me according to thy word. We need life when we are down in the dust. Now, I know most of you get the humdrums on Monday morning, bright and early. You probably wouldn't be honest with me if you said you didn't never had a down day. We all have our down days. But when I have a down day, I got to go to the Word. And if the Word doesn't pick me up, then I go to a hymn book. If that doesn't pick me up, then I take my wife to Starbucks, and that picks me up every time. And so I need these pick-me-ups when I'm down in the dust. I need this quickening. I need the life that the quickening of God gives when I'm down in the dust, verse 25. Look at verse 37. Turn mine eyes away from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. We need life when we are vexed in vanity. When we look all around and say, well, what good does it do to witness to that guy? And what good does it do to work so hard and buy more stuff? And what good does it do to be nice to people? And we begin to think that everything is in vain. And that's when we need the quickening power of God. That's when we need quickening in our life. When we are vexed in this vanity mentality and we don't care and we give up and we lose our enthusiasm to serve and to witness. Not only do we need life when we are down in the dust and when we are vexed in vanity, but according to verse 14, we need life when we are lonely and longing. Look at verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Sometimes the most miserable people are in the largest crowds. When I'm watching television, I certainly don't want to promote television, but they'll have a movie on about downtown Chicago or downtown New York, and there's just an ocean of people. And every time I see that ocean of people, I say, man, those people must be lonely. I mean, there's no expression on their face. They're just walking like little robots from one job to the next. I often wonder how many of them are saved and how many of them know the Lord. Not many of them look excited and cheerful and look quickened. Most of them look like just little ants and robots going back and forth on the walkways of New York and Chicago. I would rather be out here in South Dakota where there's only 12 people. Because I think a lot of those people inside the big cities where there's millions are very lonely. And they need the Spirit of God to work in their heart and save them. And they need the Spirit of God to work in their heart and quicken them. And you and I, when we get lonely and when we're longing for a little love and attention and affection, we go to the Word of God, and in His Word, He quickens us. Verse number 40 says, we long after His precepts, and then the quickening takes place. Verse number 88, this is number 4 here. We need life when we are to keep His testimony. Verse number 88 of Psalm 119. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. The idea here is not that it's our testimony that's so important, even though we may have an influence on some people. But when you think about it, it's not really our salvation, it's His. It's His salvation gift that He has given to us. It's not ourselves that we brag about, it's we brag about the goodness of God in saving us and delivering us. And every once in a while I get caught up in talking about me, 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 my, and I'm glad I'm saved, and I forget the part that Jesus had in all of that. But it's His testimony that is flawless and perfect and helpful. And my testimony may help a few, but His testimony is strong and true, and it's we need a quickening power to have life so that we can keep His testimony and share His testimony with others. Number 5 here, we need life when we are angered by our affliction. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. I really don't like that word afflicted because it reminds me of sitting on a porcupine. I don't like it when troubles come. I really don't. I don't like it when I get treated rudely by a clerk at a gas station. I don't like it when I get ignored by people. I don't like it when people wave at me with an unusual sign language and they tell me by their body language that they don't appreciate me. That bothers me. That's affliction. And you and I have to have some place to go when that affliction, those little pricks, those little porcupine needles poke at us. And brother so-and-so bothers us, and sister so-and-so bothers us. We need to ask God for some quickening and for some life and for some resuscitation and some cheer because it's going away. And we need to have it brought back. And so we go to the Word, and He helps us with that when we are angered by affliction. Number 6, we need life when we are wanting heaven to hear us. Look at verse 149. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. And again, like you, sometimes when I pray, I feel like it hits the fan and it bounces right back. It doesn't get very far. And sometimes when I pray, I say, Lord, are you listening this time? I mean, I got to get up there somehow. I got to get through to you. Lord, hear me. Well, a quickening mentality will help us in this area. When we ask for the quickening of God, His Spirit comes along and His Spirit says, okay, you start praying in faith, and before long I'll join in and I'll make your prayers get past the ceiling. Most of us, our prayers are so short, they don't even get to the ceiling. But we want to get to the other side of the ceiling so that the Lord really hears us. And a quickening mentality will do that. It will be helpful for us. So if you want to hear from heaven, just go to the Word and ask God to hear you, and He will. Verse number 154, we need life, we need quickening, when we are in need of defense and deliverance. Verse 154, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. We usually don't think of inmates in the county jail praying for deliverance and for some self-defense and for some mercy from the judge. But I would encourage you on occasion, once a year, go to a courtroom and just sit in there and watch all the people in the courtroom that are being brought before the judge. And you'll see many of them with their heads bowed and their eyes to the floor. And I think what they're praying for is mercy and grace and relief from the judge who's about ready to sentence them. Because they are really at the mercy of the courts once they've broken a civil law. And it's up to the judge. And if she's having a bad day, you may not get any mercy. And if she's having a good day, you may not get any mercy. But the hearts of the judges and the kings are moved by who? They're moved by the Lord. And so he can help us when we need that extra defense and when we need that extra help. A great, great time to pray is in the courtroom when you're on trial. Because you'll find that with God's listening ear, he can help us and deliver us and present a defense on our behalf. Number 8. We need life when we are after meaningful mercy. Look at verse 156. If you're still awake, say amen. Yeah, I didn't say amen. That doesn't mean I'm sleeping. It just means I'm wondering if you're still awake here. 156, it says, "Great are thy tender mercies. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments." Meaningful mercy. That's the kind of mercy that we don't deserve, but we ask God for. I usually ask for mercy when I'm traveling along on the highway and I see the Christmas tree coming behind me with the lights, with the blue and the red. And I immediately check to see if my seatbelt's on, okay? And I immediately start saying, "Lord, I hope that's another guy that he's after and not me." And I start praying and asking God for mercy, what to say, how to behave, pull over, let him pass. Hopefully he's after somebody else and not me. But that's the last thing I want on my record, is to have trouble with the law when I'm trying to be a pastor and I'm trying to be a good citizen and a good Christian. And so I beg for mercy. Here again, I'm not bragging on this. I'm just saying this as part of my personal testimony. Before I was saved, I got 4 speeding tickets. And that's because, you know, my wife and I, we had Camaros and we had all those fast cars. But after I got saved, the police officers didn't stop chasing me. I had 4 warnings. And every time they pulled me over, one time it was on my way to a hospital call because Lynn's mom had been entered into the emergency room. And the police officer said, "Well, we don't want to have 2 people in the emergency room. It's better that your mother is taken care of and you slow down." And so I said, "Yes, sir. Thank you very much for not giving me a ticket." And then the other time I was going through Pierce, South Dakota, and I didn't realize that I was in a school zone. And those school zones can be tricky, because sometimes you don't know where the school is at. But you know, in the school zone, they generally slow you down to like 15 miles an hour. I mean, who goes 15 miles an hour? Skateboards go faster than 15 miles an hour. So anyway, I go through this area, and I didn't know it was a school zone, and all of a sudden, behind me. And the guy pulls me over. And he says, I said, "I'm sorry, officer, you know, I'm praying before he got to the window that God would give me some mercy. But I said, I'm sorry, officer, what did I do wrong?" And he said, "You know how fast you're going?" I said, "Well, I probably should know how fast I'm going, but I wasn't paying attention. I don't know how fast I was going, but I bet you're going to tell me." He said, "Yes, you're going about 37. And I said, "Oh, okay, well, I didn't know that was not allowed on this street because it looks kind of quiet." He said, "Well, you see that school right over there?" He said, it's in session, and there's kids around. He says, "You were supposed to be doing 15. And I said, "Well, I said, I'm sorry. I said, you're going to have to write the ticket because I'm thankful for police officers, and I should know better, and I'm new to this area and this town, and I just... go ahead and write me up. I was prepared to pay the innkeeper for that mistake." And while he was back in his car looking on his computer and finding out that I was a preacher and everything else, finding out my track record, after a few minutes he comes up and says, "Well, I'll tell you what," he says, "since you're not familiar with this area, and since you'd like to just get out up here, South Dakota," he says, I'm gonna escort you to the city limits and I want you to keep on going. He says, "But I'm not going to give you a ticket." And so I said, "You're not?" I said, "Well," I said, it's my lucky day. Thank you very much. I said, I really don't need a ticket on my record and stuff, and I really appreciate your mercy. and I really appreciate your help. And then before he left, I said, by the way, I said, if you're not going to give me a ticket, can I give you one? And I pulled out one of my season pass tickets, and I handed it to him, and I've never seen a police officer laugh so hard in my whole life. He said, are you kidding me? He says, I could have wrote you up and thrown the book at you. I'm supposed to be giving you a ticket, and you're giving me one. So he looks at the ticket. He says, follow me. Let's get you out of town. That was mercy that was given that I really didn't deserve, because I was speeding. He should have probably ticketed me, and I should have paid the $100 or $200 fine. But the Lord is interested in giving us his mercy and grace and help and quickening, and we have not because we ask not. So let's ask for it, okay? We need life when we are down in the dust. We need life when we are vexed in vanity. 3, we need life when we are lonely and longing. 4, we need life when we are to keep his testimony. 5, we need life when we are angered by affliction. 6, we need life when we are wanting heaven to hear. 7, we need life when we are in need of defense and deliverance. 8, we need life when we are after meaningful mercy. And 9, not that there's only 9, but these are the 9 for tonight. We need life as we continue to love his laws. Look at verse 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindnesses. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. You know, my wife still has someplace in her collection all the love letters that I wrote to her when I was in the service. She's got them buried in a box someplace. I kind of think the mice have taken care of them, but she doesn't think so. But someday I'm going to open up that package of where those letters are, and I'm going to read them, and I'm going to laugh like crazy at my youth. But she loves those letters, and they're personal to her, and they're precious to her. And so she kept them. And the older I get, the more I see God's word as a love letter from heaven. And the more I value it, and the more I appreciate it, and the more I look to it when I'm down in the dumps. I just say, Lord, look, you love me, you made me, you want to help me. And I'm really trying hard to love your word and to love your precepts. So quicken me. Show a little love. Invigorate me. Resuscitate me. Cheer me up. Make me alive. Sharpen my skills in your word, because I love your word. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. So we need life as we continue to love his laws. So 9 times in this short passage, Psalm 119, 9 times the psalmist prays for quickening. And if the psalmist can pray 9 times for quickening, you and I ought to be praying for quickening as well. The last 2 points here, Roman numeral 2. One reference to the psalmist's hope in finding that life, and we read this earlier, and that's verse 50, so I'll read it again. The psalmist says, this is my comfort. I find great peace and great comfort and great cheer in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And then Roman numeral 3, we see one reference to the psalmist's help after finding that life. In verse number 93, he says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Right before Roman numeral 1, I've got the 911 principle found in Psalm 119. Lynn and I have had to about, 4 times. We've had to call 911 in our 70 years, and it is a scary thing to do. It really is, because you don't know what's happening with this individual that you're concerned about, and if it's a loved one, it's even more scary. But I'm reminded of Psalm 119 because it's 911 backwards. And so when I get in a crisis or when I get in a jam, instead of calling 911, I call on the Lord. Say, Lord, what do I do? How do I respond? Say, Lord, quicken me. Give me some help. Give me some life. Give me some cheer. Give me some sharpening. I know you have plenty of quickening power and plenty of comfort to share. This Christian needs some. Would you please give me some? And on every case, he has. We survived every one of those 911 calls by pleading to God first and asking for his help and mercy and grace, and he supplied it. And someday it's going to be your turn. And I hope that when your turn comes, you not only call 911, but you go to the thoughts and the principles of Psalm 119 and are reminded that the Lord is the first of the great helpers. We know from reading the Psalms, he loves us because he always hears us and he always helps us. And he's there to restore our hope. And when we're down, that's what we need. We need somebody to hear us, we need somebody to help us, and we need somebody to restore our hope. And that's my challenge for this evening, and I hope it's helpful in some small way. Did you learn something? Say amen.